Chapter 1. Gessler the Governor. Once upon a time, more years ago than anybody can remember, Switzerland belonged to the Emperor of Austria. This was before the first hotel had been built or the first English tourist had taken a photograph of Mont Blanc and brought it home to be glued in an album and shown after tea to his jealous friends. One of the first things the Emperor did was to send his friend Hermann Gessler to rule the country. Gessler was not a nice man, and it soon became obvious that he would never become really popular with the Swiss. The point upon which they particularly disagreed was the question of taxes. The Swiss, who were a simple people and did not like giving away their money, objected to paying taxes of any sort and said they wanted to spend their money on other things. Gessler, on the other hand, wanted to put a tax on everything, and, being the governor, he did it. He made everyone who owned a flock of sheep pay a certain amount of money to him, and if a farmer sold his sheep and bought cows, he had to pay even more money to Gessler for the cows than he had paid for the sheep. Gessler also taxed bread, biscuits, sweets, juice, and in fact everything he could think of, until the people of Switzerland decided to complain. They appointed Walter Fürst, who had red hair and looked fierce. Werner Stauffacher, who had gray hair and a name that nobody knew how to pronounce, and Arnold of Melchthal, who had blonde hair and was supposed to be very intelligent, to make the complaint. The three men called on the governor one beautiful morning in April and were shown into the hall of audience.
"Well," said Gessler, "what's the matter now?"
The other two pushed Walter Fürst forward because he looked fierce, and they thought he might frighten the governor. Walter Fürst coughed.
"Well?" asked Gessler.
"Ahem," began Walter Fürst.
"That's the way," whispered Werner. "Give it to him."
"Ahem," said Walter Fürst again. "The fact is, Mr. Governor..."
"It's a small point," interrupted Gessler. "But I'm generally addressed as Your Excellency, yes?"
"The fact is, Your Excellency, it seems to the people of Switzerland..."
"Whom I represent," whispered Arnold of Melchthal.
"Whom I represent, that things must be changed."
"What things?" inquired Gessler.
"The taxes, Your Most Wonderful Excellency."
"Change the taxes? Don't the people of Switzerland think there are enough taxes?"
Arnold of Melchthal broke in hastily.
"They think there are too many," he said. "What with the tax on sheep, the tax on cows, the tax on bread, the tax on tea, and the tax..."
I know, Gessler interrupted. "I know all the taxes, so get to the point. What about them?"
"Your Most Excellent Excellency, there are too many of them."
"Too many?"
"Yes, and we are not going to put up with it any longer," shouted Arnold of Melchthal.
Gessler leaned forward in his throne.
"Could I ask you to repeat that remark?" he asked.
"We are not going to put up with it any longer."
Gessler sat back again with an unpleasant smile.
"Oh," he said. "Oh, indeed. You aren't you? Ask the Lord High Executioner to step this way," he ordered a soldier nearby.
The Lord High Executioner entered the chamber. He was a kind-looking old gentleman with silvery hair, and he wore a beautiful black cape, tastefully decorated with skulls.
"Your Excellency sent for me?" he said.
"So I did," replied Gessler. "This gentleman here," he pointed to Arnold of Melchthal, "says he does not like taxes, and that he isn't going to put up with them any longer."
"Tsk, tsk," murmured the executioner.
"See what you can do for him."
"Certainly, Your Excellency."
"Robert," he cried, "is the oil on the boil?"
"It just boiled over this minute," replied a voice from the other side of the door.
"Then bring it in and be careful not to spill any."
Robert entered in a suit of armor and a black mask, carrying a large black pot, from which the steam rose in great clouds.
"Now, sir, if you please," said the executioner politely to Arnold of Melchthal.
Arnold looked at the large black pot.
"Why, it's hot," he said.
"Quite warm," admitted the executioner.
"It's against the law to threaten a man with hot oil."
"You may attempt to bring me to court," said the executioner.
"Now, sir, if you could, please move this way and give me your finger, because at the moment we're wasting time. Give me the finger from your left hand if it's not too much trouble. Thank you kindly, sir."
He took Arnold's left hand and dipped the tip of the first finger into the oil.
"Ow!"
cried Arnold, jumping in pain.
"Don't let him see he's hurting you," whispered Werner Stauffacher. "Pretend you don't notice it. Just bear the pain."
Gessler leaned forward again.
"Have your views on taxes changed at all? Do you see my point of view more clearly now that you've had time to think about it?"
Arnold admitted that he thought that, after all, there might be something to be said for it.
"That's right," said the governor. "And the tax on sheep, you don't object to that?"
"No."
"And the tax on cows?"
"I couldn't do without it."
"And those on bread and sweets and juice?"
"I enjoy them."
"Excellent. In fact, you're quite satisfied with the whole situation."
"Quite."
"And you think the rest of the people are?"
"Oh, quite, quite."
"And do you think the same?"
he asked Walter and Werner.
"Oh, yes, Your Excellency," they cried.
"Then that's all right," said Gessler. "I was sure you would be sensible about it. Now, if you will kindly place just a small contribution in the container which the gentleman on my left is presenting to you to compensate us for our trouble in giving you an audience, and if you," he said, looking at Arnold of Melchtal, "will contribute an additional small sum for use of the Emperor's boiling oil, I think we shall all be satisfied. You've done it? Good. Goodbye, and watch the step as you leave."
And as he finished this lecture, the three representatives of the people of Switzerland were shown out of the Hall of Audience. They were met in the street outside by a large group of their fellow citizens, who had accompanied them to the palace, and who had been spending the time during their audience taking turns listening through the keyhole of the front door. But as the Hall of Audience was on the other side of the palace, cut off from the front door by two other doors, a flight of stairs, and a long passage, they had not heard very much of what had gone on inside. They surrounded the three representatives as they came out, questioning them eagerly.
"Did he agree to take off the tax on sweets?" asked Ulrich the blacksmith.
"What is he going to do about the tax on mixed biscuits?"
shouted Klaus von der Flue, who was the chimney sweeper of the town and loved mixed biscuits.
"Never mind about tea and mixed biscuits," cried his neighbor, Meyer of Sarnen. "What I want to know is whether we shall have to pay for keeping sheep anymore."
"What did the governor say?" asked Jost Weiler, a practical man who liked to get directly to the point. The three representatives looked at each other a little doubtfully.
"Well," said Werner Stauffacher at last, "as a matter of fact, he didn't actually say very much. It had more to do with his actions, if you understand me, than his words."
"I would describe His Excellency the Governor," said Walter Fürst, "as a man who has a way of convincing people, a man who has all sorts of arguments at his disposal."
Arnold of Melchtal nodded vigorously in agreement and rubbed his finger gingerly.
"In short," continued Walter, "after a few minutes of very interesting conversation, he made us understand that complaining is really not sensible and that we must go on paying the taxes as before."
There was a dead silence for several moments, while everybody looked at everybody else in shock and disappointment. The silence was broken by Arnold of Sua, who had been disappointed at not being chosen as one of the three representatives in the first place, and thought that if he had been chosen, all this trouble would not have occurred.
"The fact is," he said bitterly, "that you three have failed to do what you were sent to do. I mention no names, far from it,
but I don't mind saying that there are some people in this town who would have had greater success in this endeavor. What you need in little matters of this sort is, if I may say so myself, tact. Tact, that's what you need. Of course, if you go rushing into the governor's presence.
But we didn't rush, said Walter first, loudly shouting that you want the taxes abolished.
But we didn't shout loudly, said Walter first.
I really cannot speak if you are constantly interrupting me, said Arnold of Sua severely. What I say is that you should employ tact. Yes, tact, that's what is necessary. If I had been chosen to represent the Swiss people in this instance, I am not saying I should have been, mind you. I merely say if I had been, I would have acted in the following fashion, walking confidently but not defiantly into the tyrant's presence. I would have broken the ice with some pleasant remark about the weather. Once the conversation had started, the rest would have been easy. I would have said that I hoped His Excellency had had an excellent dinner. Once on the subject of food, it would have been the simplest of tasks to show him how unnecessary taxes on food were, and the whole affair would have been pleasantly settled while you waited. I do not imply that the Swiss people would have been better off choosing me as their representative. I merely say that that is how I would have acted had they done so. And Arnold of Sua fingered his mustache and looked offended. His friends immediately suggested that he should be allowed to try where the other three had failed, and the rest of the crowd, regaining hope, took up the cry. The result was that the visitor's bell of the palace was rung for the second time, and Arnold of Sua went in, the door banging behind him. 5 minutes later he came out, sucking the first finger of his left hand.
"No," he said, "it can't be done. The tyrant has convinced me."
"I knew he would," said Arnold of Melchtal, appearing satisfied.
"Then I think you should have warned me," snapped Arnold of Sua, dancing around from the pain of his burned finger.
"Was it hot?" asked Arnold of Melchtal, hopefully.
"Positively boiling," responded Arnold of Sua.
"Ah," said Arnold of Melchtal, looking less sympathetic than he might have.
"Then he really won't let us off the taxes?" asked the crowd in disappointed voices.
"No."
"Then the long and short of it is," said Walter first, drawing a deep breath, "that we must rebel."
"Rebel?" cried everybody.
"Rebel," repeated Walter firmly.
"We will,"
cried everybody.
"Down with the tyrant," shouted Walter first.
"Down with the taxes," responded the crowd.
A scene of great enthusiasm followed, but finally the crowd settled down, and Werner Stauffacher spoke.
"We need a leader," he said.
"I don't wish to thrust myself forward," began Arnold of Sua, "but I must say if it comes to leading..."
"And I know the very man for the job," interrupted Werner Stauffacher. "William Tell."
"Hooray for William Tell!" roared the crowd, and taking their lead from Werner Stauffacher, they burst into the grand old Swiss song celebrating their new leader. Having sung this tune until they all had sore throats, they went off to their beds to get a few hours' sleep before beginning the work of the day.